Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Yeah, Boker Tov. So we want to, you know, God's been very good in regards to during this time of Passover, which was in April. But the beautiful thing is you can have communion every month and we can have Passover every month. It doesn't really matter, you know. But to the Orthodox Jewish person, you know, Passover is a special time. And by God's grace, we thank the good Lord above because we've seen many of our Jewish contacts come to know Christ right here at a Passover dinner. And one year, which was a very special to us, we had an elderly Jewish man and a young Egyptian guy at the same time after Passover received their Messiah. You know, that was really special. You know, Monsif, who had graduated from the American University in Cairo as an engineer, works in San Diego, and Lefton, Mr. Lefton, he was a retired guy, an old Coast Guard man. And they both, at the same time, that night after Passover, accepted Jesus as their Messiah. It's a special time. And others as well, but that was a special time for us. We want to go through the table, but we want to go first how it first started. Then from how it first started, then we'll explain the table, and then how it's going to affect us as we take our communion service. So let's see how it first started. And let's go to our to the Old Testament, and let's look at Exodus chapter 12, if you want to turn with me. Exodus 12. So the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So those of us who have Jewish friends and Jewish family, we know that the civil new year is September, October, right? You have Rosh Hashanah, you have Yom Kippur, you have the Sukkot, you have Eretz. All these holidays civilly are in September, October. But God says, biblically speaking, Passover really is your new year. In fact, we have a friend in Fallbrook, he's in the avocado business. He was born in Iraq, then they went to Israel, then he went to the Amazons, traveled all over Latin America, he speaks seven languages. Reuben's name, his name is Hafshi. Hafshi, you know, is almost like Arabic, but it's the head. He's the head. And we've been sharing with Reuben for a number of years. His wife is a believer. And every time we come here, he shakes his head. That's right, that's right, that's right. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to the congregation in the 10th day of this month. They shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers a lamb. And if the household be too little, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb, notice, shall be without blemish, a male, the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper lower posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now you know, and as I tried to talk to my Jewish friends, they put the blood on the side posts and the lintel. It's always been the picture of a cross. Now, suppose we had, you're the morning watch, you're the afternoon watch, and Pastor and I are the evening watch. And here we have six little goats. And the reason I say goats is because when I go up to Spokane in October, our friends have a goat farm, and they tell me how goats act. So, and sheep act, well, not a little bit differently. So you're the morning watch, afternoon watch, and Pastor and I are the midnight watch, and we have six little pens with six little goats. The morning watch says, everything's fine. The afternoon says, well, look at that little guy in number two. He's biting his front paw. Pastor and I, midnight with our flashlights watching, number three is biting his paw. The other guy's scratching his back. Get him out of there. And for 3.5 days, 3.5 nights, we finally get one that's perfect without any blemish. Now, my friends up in Deer Park, north of Spokane, say a goat 1 year old is the prime of its life. Now, here it says, take that male goat in the prime of its life, watch it for around 3.5 days, and at the 3.5 days, the one you find that's perfect, cut it, and put the blood on the side posts and the lintel. Now, my friend Elias Zimmerman, he's with the Lord now. He was trained in Russia to be a rabbi. His father was a rabbi. And somebody gave him, while he's studying in the seminary, in the yeshiva, a little black book, prophecy edition of the New Testament. And he started to read it while he was studying the Talmud. And lo and behold, he accepted his Messiah. Told his father he had to get out of town. And he never saw his father again. Came to America, and during the war years, the Second World War, he led more Jewish guys going to the Pacific than you can shake a stick at. In fact, the rabbis wanted to kill him. And when he preached in Boyle Heights in Los Angeles area, he had to stand against the wall so nobody would come in the back of him, you know? Now here we see, and he said, this is what he said to me, this is a prophecy of that one to come. Who was a male in the prime of his life? How long was his ministry? 3.5 years. So we see even here, in that one to come, said, look, the rabbi, look, the sacerdote. No, they said, what? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So here we even see in Exodus chapter 12, Moses is talking about a prophet, that one was to come, even the Messiah. And here, we have 12 tribes of Israel, right? I'd like to talk about the 13th tribe, the tribe of I don't care. Now, who am I going to pick? The guy's all the way in the back. Buck, I'm going to look at you. You're from the tribe of I don't care, you know? And you say, Moses and Aaron are old fogies. We're talking Sunday school about Alzheimer, right? Dementia, you know? You know, and the tribe of I don't care says, you know, I've got a little she-goat. A little she-goat. And she's sick. She's never going to make it. Why should I kill this little goat that's in the prime of his life? Moses and Aaron, these old fogies all the way in the front of the camp. You know, I'm going to cut the little she-goat, and I'm going to put the blood of the she-goat that's sick on the side puss and the lintel. Do you have a pet?
Yeah, we have pets, yes.
What do you got? Yeah. Grandma and grandpa? Dog. Okay, now you know when your dog has fleas? Starts to itch, right? Scratch, right? You said we got to get some medicine, right? And it's the same thing here. We're there. They had to get them out because they're going to contaminate everybody else. You know, my sister has a little poodle, French poodle, small little thing. And I don't agree with her because that little poodle sleeps with my sister. Sleeps with her. And you know what my sister got? Fleas. She got fleas. She was scratching and scratching and she didn't understand. She went to the doctor. He says, does your dog sleep with you at night? She says, yeah, you got fleas. Can you imagine? That is funny. And you know what? The dog still sleeps with her. Really, you know, kind of funny, you know? So then notice, they shall take the flesh, and that night roast with fire, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Eat not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, the head and its legs, and you shall let nothing of it remain. Till the morning, and in that which remaineth until the morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, note it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For notice, I, God Himself, will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. And what does he say? And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, not of that little female animal, but of that perfect one, macho, you know, in the prime of its life. And when I see that blood, I will pass over. That's Passover, Pesach. He's going to pass over, you see. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we come to church, everybody looks good, they smell good, everybody have their showers and all the creams in it, you know. But the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, passes over here, right now. And the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, he knows which ones are really his, you see. Because many people come to church, they don't believe, see. That's why I love these songs that we sang, the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because there's only one way to heaven. It's not good works, you know? You know, just recently in Los Angeles, we had Don Sperling. You know, everybody knows about Don Sperling, right? He used to have the Clippers down San Diego, and he said, no, we're going to go up to L.A. And I heard an interview of him with on 31 on ESPN in San Diego, you know? I'm a good person. I've always done good. I've always done this. I've always done that. You know, this guy is the greatest person in the whole world. But everybody else doesn't understand him. It's a sad story for Don Sperling, you know? My goodness. And the other girl who is his girlfriend, 30-some years old, he's 81. She's such a good person, you know? Here she... She got him in there to talk all this garbage, and everybody knows about it. She's such a good person, you know? Now, you say, is that goodness going to get him into heaven? You know? You know? They talked to his family in Chicago. They said, the guy's an idiot since he's been a young kid. You know? But the idea is, he's delusional. And a lot of us are delusional, too. Look at all the good things I do for everybody. God, you know, there's some guys like even Hagee, John Hagee. He believes in, you know, we're all climbing this, you know, different ladders to get to heaven. Everybody's going to get there. It doesn't matter what ladder you're climbing. It doesn't matter. You're going to get to heaven. Wait a second. There's only one ladder that gets to heaven. Only one. I am the way to life and no man comes to me except by the, you know. And it's just crazy when all these things are happening and people are not really getting in, like the Bereans. Let's get in, let's get in. And look, you know, and here's the idea, even in Exodus. Aaron and Moses, you know, the Lord said to Aaron, you tell these guys what they do. Now, let's face it, you know, the Hebrews are stiff-necked people. And there's always going to be rebels in the camp. And it's always been by faith. The same thing today. We accept him by faith. By faith. And the same thing here, by faith. I'm the firstborn of my family. If my father and my family were living in that days, my pops cut a little she-lamb, I'm the firstborn. I'm a goner. You have to do it by faith. That's the whole idea, by faith. And it's the same thing with us. By faith, we accept him. By faith. So here's the first Passover. They're loins, you know, shoes on their feet, their loins, they're ready to get out. We're going to McDonald's, right? Oh boy, we're going to have a fast food, you know? No, doesn't work that way. So in my house, my grandfather was symbolic of the high priest. So he wore an outfit like this, and it's a white gown called a kittel. So he's the high priest, and in a Jewish home, and an Orthodox Jewish home, the grandfather and the grandmother would usually, you know, sit on chairs on either side of the table. I can't find this other belt. Oh, here it is. And they would sit in soft chairs. Why? Because we're free people now. We're free people. And a few days before Passover, the girls... In my house, my sisters would leave crumbs around the table, around the windowsills. And then the guys would take a feather and a spoon and clean all the crumbs. All the crumbs. Get all the dirt out of the house. It's spring cleaning, so to speak, you know? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Everyone around the table would have the Passover Haggadah. Retelling the story of all the things that happened way back when. Because, you know, we have to keep on reminding ourselves what happened. Now, when I first went to Salvador, we were just married a year or so, and we went from Los Angeles to Tijuana. From Tijuana, we took a bus, 51 hours on the bus, to Mexico City. We stopped at different cities. We had, you know, lunch and things like that. Then we had to stay in Mexico City because we had to go to another bus terminal to go south. So another 24 hours from Mexico City all the way down to the frontier of Tapachula, Chiapas, the border of Guatemala, right? Then we had to take another bus in Guatemala. And I'll never forget, we were waiting in this little table in this aduana to go get our passport stamped to go across this bridge to go to Guatemala. And there was a little old man in a brown uniform with his typewriter, you know? And all the American passports went on this side. The Mexican passports went all the way in front, you know? I said, how long are we going to wait? Don't worry. I said, there's a bus over there across the bridge, and we don't want them to leave because that takes us to Guatemala. He says, don't worry, the bus won't leave until you're there. 2 hours later, we finally got our passport stamped, and the bus was waiting for us. We went down to Guatemala City. We have to wait another 24 hours in Guatemala City for another bus to take us to San Salvador. We got to San Salvador. I said, honey, are we there? Nope, we're not quite. We had to get another bus to go from San Salvador all the way down to the oriental side, San Miguel. Are we there? No, not quite yet. Then we had to get another bus at 2 o'clock in the morning to go up all the way up in the mountains to a little village called Guatajiagua. That's where her family lived, in Guatajiagua. I said, boy, it's hot. I want to take a shower. Well, you see that 50-gallon barrel over there? Take this little faucet, and then you'll be able to take your shower. You want to go? Oh, you got to go all the way up. I would have been in culture shock. If I would have taken a plane right then and there, man, it would have been terrible. 5 days on the bus, you learn a little bit more about people and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm there, and I was a little bit more acclimated. Here we see a rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, talking to a group of what? Carnal Christians in Corinth. Look what he says. Verse 6, chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Let us keep the feast. What is he talking about? He's talking about communion, what we're going to have in a few minutes. And not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Hey, you guys, you come to communion, you're drunk. You don't want to share it. Hey, you're doing everything wrong. This guy was an Orthodox rabbi telling these guys how to do it right. And it's the same thing with us. We have to clean the house. Where's the house? Right here, isn't it? What do we do before we're going to take the communion? Lord, cleanse me, right? Get the garbage out. Cleanse me. That's the first thing. Then, in the Orthodox, in our home, my grandparents lived with us. So my grandmother, in the Jewish home, the woman lights the candles, the Sabbath candles and the holiday candles. And she would say, praise be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with thy commandments and enjoined upon us the mitzvah of kindling this festival lights. And it goes like this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam she'er kidshonu b'mitzvot tov v'tzivonu lecha hadlik ner shel yom tov. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who kept us in life and sustained us and enabled us to reach this season. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam she'er kidshonu v'kimonu v'higionu lazman hazeh. So here my grandmother would light the festival light. Candle. Then Pop, when I say Pop, would be my grandfather. In Yiddish, you know, there's two kinds of Jewish people. You have the European. These were the Ashkenazi. My family came from Europe, from Russia. We're Ashkenazi. Then you have the ones who were kicked out of Spain. They were Sephardim. They're the ones that were in Greece and in Latin America. They're the ones even are in Arab nations, you know. Then Pop would take the first cup, and everybody would take the first cup. It's called the cup of Kadesh. And he would say, praise be thou, our Lord, our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. And everybody around the table would drink the first cup, the cup of, for us, in English, it's the cup of sanctification, setting this evening apart. It's a special time. We're remembering what happened, you know. How many here have never had a birthday? We always remember, right? Hey, it's birthday time, you know. And then, like, what's his name said this morning at Sunday school? Here he even had Alzheimer's. He still knew to go get the flowers, right? Something there in your head kicks. Oh, you remind, you know. My cousin's father-in-law, snowing a blizzard in Philadelphia, he had Alzheimer's. He goes out of the house at 1 o'clock in the morning with his bedroom slippers, pajamas, and his bathrobe, and he went to a coffee shop to get a cup of coffee and a donut. And he goes in and he wants a cup of coffee. He says, look, you don't have any money. He says, what's the difference? I want a cup of coffee. You know, they called the police and they found out where he was, you know. It's a dangerous thing, you know, not being in our own mind. That's why the Bible says today's the day. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know. So here Pop starts to read and keeps on reading. and ceremoniously. He goes into the laver, symbolic of the laver in the tabernacle and in the temple, and he would ceremonially wash his hands. Then we would take some greens. It's a long, drawn-out affair, you know, 3-4 hours in an Orthodox Passover. And he'd take greens, parsley, dip it in salt water. This is symbolic of the hyssop that was dipped into the blood and put on the two side posts and the lintel of the house. And he would say, the Haggadah preserves some of the customs extant when the temple was still existent in Jerusalem. All formal dinners began with hors d'oeuvres. Carpus is the hors d'oeuvre or appetizer of the Passover meal. It may consist of any green vegetable, parsley, lettuce, endive, cress, chervil, or scallion. The green vegetable is a symbol of springtime and the miracle of nature's renewal. So here Pop would say, praise be thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the earth. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri ha'adama. Anybody's name Adam? You know, you're the fruit of the earth. Then something very interesting happens. Pop goes into the unity. This is Passover, Mor, and Matzah. There's three compartments. Can you see those three compartments? Huh? Yeah? So the rabbis say this. The top compartment are the priestly tribe. The middle compartment were the ones who did the gophers, right? They took down, these were the Levites, Levine, Leventhal. The bottom one was the rest of the house of Israel. The top one, high priests, were the Kohen, the Kohanim. So if you have a friend, you know, Kohen or this or that, you know, and a lot of the, they came from Russia, they had strange names, so when they got to immigration, Ellis Island, you know, what happened? Well, the guys would say, I can't understand your name, you're a Kohen, so they put Kohen. You're a Greenberg, so you're a Greenberg, you know? So the idea is that this little guy comes to the new country, and some Jewish fellows are in San Francisco, and they see Goldberg's Chinese restaurant. So boy, they jumped into that restaurant. I want to see Goldberg, you know? And he said, where's Goldberg? He's a little Chinaman comes up. He says, I'm Goldberg. You Jew? No. He says, well, how did you get the name Goldberg? He says, funny thing happened. Says, when I was going through immigration, I was in line, and the man before me name was Sam Goldberg. And they asked me what my name was, and I said, same thing. So, so he became a Goldberg, right? So, since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, you know, we don't know what tribe we're from. I mean, be honest, you know. The thing had to be in existence till Jesus came upon the scene. Then we know where his birth was. We know what his family was, what his tribe was, and everything else. So I used to argue with Rabbi Pollack. I was a volunteer chaplain in the state prison in San Diego, in Donovan State Prison. And Rabbi Pollack was the Jewish chaplain. And we always used to argue. I said, Rabbi Pollack, why do you take the middle compartment? You know, it's the Kohenim, it's the the Levites, and the house of Israel. Why do you always take the middle compartment, the Levites, and half it, and wrap it in a linen cloth, and hide it till after dinner? And that's called the afikomen. So here we have the Passover Haggadah in Hebrew, and we have a Greek word for the dessert, afikomen. Crazy, you know? We said, well, you know, that's tradition. But you know, I don't know if you can see it with this candle. Can you see that? Can everybody see it? Let's see. Can you see that? Now, can you see it? Pierced and striped. See, this is unleavened. Symbolic, if you will, of our Messiah. Unleavened. He was pierced. He was striped. You know? And my dear friend, Dr. Zimmerman, when he was in Russia as a young boy, his mother used to knead the dough, and his job was to take a knife and scratch it before it was put in the oven. No, you can't really see it too well from this candle. So, and he never understood until he accepted the Lord and he read Isaiah 53. He was bruised, he was pierced for our iniquities. Yeah. We had a lady from Kazakhstan, Frida, and she came to our Passover and said, well, you bring your matzah. I want to see how you make your matzah. She had a big skillet and she took the dough and put it around the whole skillet and scratched it. And there it was, almost like you're getting a Mexican salad, right? Really? Why did you scratch it, Frida? Well, it's tradition. Tradition, you know? But they don't realize it's Isaiah 53. It's unleavened, pure, holy, righteous, you see? Symbolic of our Messiah. And then Pop would start to tell the story of, if you will, of Passover. Then there's four questions that the young people ask. Can you read English? Come on up and ask a question. All right. What's your name?
Ara.
What?
Ara.
Okay, Ara. What does this say?
Why is the night different from all other nights?
Did everybody hear that? Why is this night different from all other nights? All right, what is this?
On all other nights, we may eat either
leaven
or unleavened bread, but on this
night,
only unleavened bread.
Good, thank you. So here, the kids are asking questions. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? You know? Why on all other nights we eat not even once dip our herbs in any condiment, but on this night we dip herbs twice. One herb in salt water, we have here the parsley, and the bitter herbs in haroset. We have applesauce, and I have some real good horseradish, if anybody wants to try it. Now, my brother said he had it last time, but anybody want to come up afterwards? We had a Passover in El Salvador, in Santa Ana, a couple years ago, and I met a guy on the street. He was selling tomatoes, and he gave me a bargain on tomatoes. He had tattoos on all his fingers and around his neck. I said, "What's your name?" He said, Ronald McDonald, I call him. He was MS-13. He was in three jails in Los Angeles, in California. Then he got kicked out of the country back to El Salvador. And by God's grace, he accepted the Lord while he was in prison. And he was the pastor of this little church right there in the center of El Centro in Santa Ana. And every one of his members had tattoos, and they were all ex-gang members. Can you imagine that? And I gave the toughest guy some triple X horseradish. He was strong. And he started to cry. And everybody started to laugh. And one guy says, "I can't believe it." I said, "Come on up, take a bite." And he started to cry. Give him juice, because these guys are going crazy, you know. It was just beautiful, you know. And everybody, we had a big laugh. But the most important thing is, they're all believers. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they have blow horns and start to preach in the little area. Just fantastic, you know. God changed their lives. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, right? On all other nights, we either sitting or recline, but on this night, we really recline. So I like to tell the story of Passover where it's around March, April. What begins March, April? Baseball, right? All kids love baseball. So can you imagine a little Orthodox boy going to the baseball stadium and he wants a real delicious hot dog on matzah? Can't take mustard, he's got to have horseradish, you know? And you see all these little guys with black hats with the long curls, you know, having a beautiful hot dog on a piece of matzah with some horseradish. Yeah, it happens in Brooklyn. The funniest thing, you know. And there, keeps on reading, and Pop keeps on reading, and there's even four kinds of kids. The wise son says, "What's the meaning of the laws?" And you have to tell him. The rebellious son says, "What's the meaning? What does that mean to me?" He said, "What it means for me," Pop says, you know, "not for you. Because you would have been dead at that time." The simple son, you have to explain to him what the simple son says. And even the one who doesn't even know how to ask. And you know, here it is in the Jewish Haggadah, here it is for Jewish people to explain to their kids what Passover, how incumbent upon us as Christians to tell our kids what the Messiah did for us. You know, interesting. And Pop keeps on reading and reading and reading and reading. And everybody says, "Are we there yet? Are we here yet?" And my grandfather came from the Orthodox. Every jot and tittle he had to read, you know. It just drives you crazy, you know. So then we came to the second cup, the cup of Mishpat. And we would take the second cup and we would take our little finger and take out the 10 drops that God, Jehovah, performed upon the small gods of the Egyptians. Blood, frogs, vermin, wild beasts, cattle disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and if they didn't take that perfect lamb or goat, the dying or the smiting of the firstborn by faith. Then we would sing a little song. You know, we have some, my wife has a record there about Passover, and this is called Dayenu. Everybody say, Dayenu. Dayenu. And had God just taken us out of Egypt, Dayenu. So it goes like this. Ilu hotzi hotzi anu hotzi anu mi mitzrayim motzi anu mi mitzrayim dayenu day dayenu day everybody would day dayenu 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 hey who no tan lonu et hatorah if he would have just given us the law no tan lonu et hatorah dayenu day dayen and everybody would sing so next year next week. Comes about 11:30, a quarter to 12. Everybody sing, and they tell the pastor, "Dai dayenu, it's sufficient. We got it." Dayenu, and everybody would be singing, and Pop would continue with the story of Passover, all the way. My goodness, tells the whole story when we went out from Egypt, we went out from here, we went out there, and finally, it comes to the dinner. So now, if you were a Sephardic or a Sephardim, you would even have, you know, lamb or something because that's from your culture, from, you know, Latin America or from the Arab world, that's where they came. If you were from the Ashkenazi, you would have either chicken or turkey. You would never have what? Huh? Pork, right? So the story is, will a Jewish person get to heaven if he eats pork? And the answer is, yes, he'll get to heaven. The more he eats, the faster he'll get there. So, we're not in a rush. So then we would take the matzah, break a piece, because we're starting to get hungry. We take a little bit of the charoset, and this is applesauce. It would be mixed with nuts and almonds and all kinds of stuff, because this is symbolic of the bricks that the Hebrews made while they were slaves way back in Egypt. We would take horseradish, and we have the horseradish, and tears come to our eyes. Why? Because it's symbolic of all the suffering that we went through all those years in slavery. And you think about it. You think about over 400 years in slavery, right? You think they prayed every night? I remember when I had cancer, I prayed every night. Take it away, take it away. You know? You think they didn't pray every night? And yet, what did God say? It wasn't time yet. The Redeemer hadn't come yet. You know, Moses, he didn't come yet, but he's going to come. I heard stories while I was going to school. This village near Papua New Guinea, they were told, tradition, years after years, their elders used to tell the young people, there's going to be someone coming with a black book on a boat. Look for that man with a black book on the boat. And years went by, and all of a sudden, these missionaries came to this particular village on a boat with a black book. Everybody turned to Christ. They were waiting. They were ready. And all they had to do was get explained, this is what happened. Imagine. The Holy Spirit goes forth and touches and prepares everyone. That's going to come. So we have our meal. And after the meal, we're looking for the dessert. Now, in my house, we had 3 floors. So when Pop, my grandfather, my Zeta, in Spanish here is abuelito, right? Cut the second one, and somebody would take it and hide it. Maybe it was upstairs in one of the bedrooms or downstairs in the basement. And all the young kids went looking for it. And whoever found it, it's springtime, right? New blouse for the little girl, a new pair of pants for the guy, you know? Today, what do we get? iPads. You know? Tablets. I just found it. Where's mine? And, you know, let's look at a couple verses. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Beginning with verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it, and said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, and not unto thee that I would believe thou should see the glory of God. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hearest me always because of the people which stand by. I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he said, Lazarus, come on, fell. And the guy came forth with grave clothes, as he had learned out there in Egypt, came forth. What did he say? Loose him, cut him loose. And they cut him loose. They had to take away the stone, and they cut him loose from his grave clothes. Now let's look at John chapter 19. We all know that story, beginning with verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now every time it says, you know, I was in the synagogue, we were talking about the book of John, because the Jewish people hate the book of John. You know why? It always talks about the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. And we have to explain to them, when it talks about for fear of the Jews, it means the Jewish religious leaders. That's who he was afraid of, the Jewish religious leaders. Besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. You know, this guy had a lot of power. Went right to the man. He said, yeah, let him go. He came therefore and took the body. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, who brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100-pound weight. And he took the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes, the spices, the manner. Everything is as the manner of the Jews did. And as I deal with my Jewish friends and family, I said, look, this is a Jewish book. It's not a Gentile, it's a Jewish book. Everything is Jewish. So if you're afraid to read it, don't worry about it. Just read it and accept it. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, you know, when you go into the garden, I was just there in October, and you go into the little hole in the wall, you know, and when you're ready to go out, right there on the wall, on the side, it says, he's not here, he has risen, you know, it's beautiful, you know. In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, in the garden, a new sepulchre, and there they laid Jesus. The first day of the week came Mary, early when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and saw the stone taken away, and he ran and came to Simon and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we knew not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. They ran both together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came first. Stooping down, looking in, what? He saw the linen clothes lying. With Lazarus, they had to cut him loose. Here, he wasn't there, but the linen clothes were lying, and the headband was around by itself. Then he went in, and they believed. So here we see. I have a bone here. Not a bone in his body was broken, right? But the side was pierced. We have an egg on the table. And the rabbis say, how often does a good chicken lay an egg? Good hen. We have hens in El Salvador. Every day a good hen lays an egg. And the rabbis say, as often as a hen lays an egg, the children of Israel sinned. What is sin? Sin is separation. But what comes out of that little egg? A new little pollito, right? So here we see, even in the egg, life, death, or separation, and what? Resurrection. So here we find the afikomen, the dessert. And I give it to Pop. I say my grandfather. Afikomen. You know what the Greek says? I am come, right? And he takes it out, and he breaks a piece off. Now in our home, of course, we have unsaved Jewish people and saved. So we say, for those of you or us who don't believe that the Messiah came, this is your dessert. For those of us who believe, this is our communion. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke. Verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it to them, saying what? This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, we have the third cup. Look at the next verse. Likewise, he took the cup. My Bible says, verse 20 says, this cup after supper, after dinner. So here we had our dinner, right? We find the afikomen. Then we have the third cup after dinner. Now, for the unsaved Jewish person, This is the cup of Geulah. What? The cup of what? Redemption from slavery way back when. But for those of us who believe, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. We have the fourth cup. We know that song, hallelujah, 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 the cup of Hallel, the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I just want to close with this one verse here. Luke chapter 24, one of my favorite ones. Yeah. And behold, verse 13. Two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And they said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? And one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass before in these days? And he said, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. And we trusted that had been the which would have redeemed Israel. With me sidle this today's the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had, you know, they didn't even believe the ladies. Imagine. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And here's the beautiful part. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, bide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they didn't spend the night at the hotel. They went back to Jerusalem. We've seen the Lord. Hey, we've seen the Lord. And it's the same thing that should happen to us. When we know him personally, we want to go out and tell everybody what happened to us. When he broke that bread, so to speak, the afikomen, their eyes were open. This is my body, which was given for you, man. Don't you realize it? So now I'm going to ask Pastor to come, and we're going to be served our communion service.